The Olympics are in full swing in Paris. We're taking the turn to week two. Reagan Smith, swimmer from Lakeville, has won a couple of medals so far. Speaking of a couple of medals, our next guest has won a few Olympic gold medals in 2016. He won a gold medal as a member of the 4x100-meter relay, won a bronze medal in the 100-meter backstroke. David Plummer joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. David, good morning. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate the time, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And I just for everybody who doesn't know this at home, David and I got to know each other in 2016 when I covered you at the Games in Rio. And I remember us having a conversation about just that those 4 years between cycles where you have to keep your mind focused, and then in order to get yourself ready for that 1 week period or 2 week period, people don't understand what that struggle's like. That every day where you have some competitions, but the big competition is always farther away, but you still have to commit yourself to that. What is it like? What goes in to that 4 year cycle of training, getting yourself ready for what you hope will be an Olympic bid?
Yeah, it's quite the process, and definitely kind of a more of a mental game, I think, than anything. Just to kind of stay on the grind and make sure you're doing everything you need to do to prepare. And I think the toughest thing is there's just no guarantees, right? You know, we've seen over the past week here at the Olympics, like, people who are really set up to succeed and everything's going their way, you know, struggles happen and mistakes happen, and it definitely seems like all of that work that goes into those 4 years is just to give you the best chance. It doesn't really guarantee anything. So definitely a grind for sure.
David, quick question for you. I know you're a swimming family. You've got brothers who are swimmers. You're obviously at an absolutely elite level of where you were with the Olympics and all. I'm curious, though. You're born in Norman, Oklahoma, right? So how did you avoid being a football player? And I only ask that because you're a big guy, 6'3", 210-pound guy, and you're in Norman, Oklahoma. How did you get past those? I'm sure guys were coming to your house looking at your mom and dad saying, hey, wouldn't your son like to play football?
Well, I think it helped that I was only about 160 pounds in high school. So that helped. But honestly, I don't think my mom would have allowed it by the time I kind of came around. My oldest brother played football for a little bit, and I think found out very early on the risks associated with it. So, yeah, we ended up in the pool a lot more often than not.
David Plummer, who was at the 2016 Summer Olympic Games, joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. David, those 2 weeks, what is that like from an athlete's standpoint? In the sense of, I imagine you still have to try to make things normal. It's still a pool. The lanes are the same. Everything's the same size for the most part. But this is anything but normal, especially for you in your journey where you had tried a few times before you got to the Olympics. How do you make those 2 weeks be the best that you truly can be?
Yeah, that's something that I think about a lot, especially watching the games now. You know, I'm obviously very, very proud and humbled to have had the career that I did. And that said, I didn't swim my best race at the finals of the Olympic Games. And I think that's always something that you look back on and say, what could I have done different? And I think the difficult thing is, I mean, just like you said, you're trying to normalize as much as you can, but it's obviously a very different world and something that, you know, a lot of swimmers or track and field or other athletes that maybe don't have that spotlight for the majority of time they're competing, all of a sudden that spotlight shines very, very bright. And it's sort of a whirlwind, right? Where you got to kind of take deep breaths and stay focused on what you're trying to do to compete at your best, but also sort of take in the sights along the way. And I think it's a hard balance, especially your first time around. It's hard to keep all of that stuff right, but I do think, just like you said, you're trying to do as much as you can to focus on everything that you've done to get there, everything that you've sort of achieved along the way, and remember that it's, like you said, it's a 50-meter pool. The flags are in the same place and should be as easy as you can possibly make it to make it normal.
David, from a social standpoint, athletic standpoint, I understand all of the various distractions, and you're in Rio and all the rest of it on the competition. How, I know that you were talking about the discipline to do what you do. Was it an unbelievably relaxing feeling once you were done and you could just sort of enjoy the Olympics rather than being looking forward to what you're having to do?
No, he had to talk to people like me.
I think there's definitely some relief that comes along with it. You know, the crazy thing for me was I think I was in Rio maybe a day or two longer than when I was competing, and I came home a little early just because our second son, I think at that point, was 8 weeks old. So I felt like I'd missed most of his life to that point. So just kind of, like I said, adds to the whirlwind. But there's definitely a relief, and then it feels like almost a letdown, right, of go from kind of the spotlight to, you know, back to normal, right? Back to dad and all of the things that come with it. So I think that's why so many athletes talk about that kind of letdown after the games, is that light shines real bright for a couple of weeks and then all of a sudden it turns off. And if you want to do it again, it's 4 years away.
When you look at someone, David, like a Michael Phelps, or in these games, certainly Katie Ledecky, who has been dominating for so long. I mean, it's one thing to do it once, but to do it as many times and be as good as she has.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Are you impressed by that? How does someone who is so good at that sport stay that good for that long? I'm floored at the amount of success that Ledecky has had coming into this.
Yeah, same here. I've always been amazed by Katie, right? I still joke that even though I have 10 years on her, I want to be like Katie Ledecky when I grow up. she's just an amazing athlete. Obviously, her talent is kind of generational, but I think the things that make Katie are her discipline, her consistency, her professionalism. She just handles herself and kind of always has, as a very mature professional individual, and has never taken any shortcuts, right? She knew what it took to be dominant in the mile, right? I mean, it's talk about a grind. There's nothing more of a grind than the distance races. So yeah, just amazing that she's been able to kind of maintain the way she has over the years.
David, how do the athletes, as a guy standing on the outside, never ever experiencing an Olympics even in person, but especially as an athlete, what is that like? As far as, is there much of a mix? Are you? I mean, honestly, I have no idea. Are you guys able to get to know some of the guys on the track team or the basketball team or whatever? And get to know them a little bit? That's question one. Question two is, what did you think of Snoop Dogg?
Yeah. Well, to answer your second question first, I mean, what a great ambassador.
He really was. He's loved.
Right? I keep seeing how much positivity people are really taking from the games, and I think people have been thirsty for it, just given kind of everything that's happened over the past 4 years. So I think it's actually been really wonderful to see somebody just, you know, that everybody likes, that everybody kind of enjoys, just bringing a lot of joy to the games, and highlighting the things that are going on. But yeah, to And now I'm so excited about Snoop Dogg, I've forgotten the first part of your question.
just the mix with other athletes from different sports. Is there much of that?
Yeah. There actually is, I think, quite a bit. I think we were lucky in Rio, lucky in one way that all of Team USA was kind of in one building. So we got to kind of mix as much as we could. Obviously, the being able to eat in the same place, I think, is another cool thing, just to kind of just see some other people and ask them about their competition and how things are going and talk through some of the things that you're seeing on TV. And that was really cool for us as Team USA. But I think, harder for us to kind of get to know some of the other countries outside of our sport. So I think a little yes and a little no for sure. Mm-hmm.
David, my last one for you is there was an article this week, or it's been kind of around here, that the depth of the pool and the lanes that you're in make a big difference. I understand the lane part of it. Obviously, as you get closer to the middle, there's less chop, the water's smoother. At least that's what it seems like to me. But does the depth of the pool make a difference in times? They're saying that it's possible that the times are slower because the pool is too shallow. Is there any truth to this? And in your experience, have you ever thought anything like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is some truth to it. From my perspective, it's like, you think about it in college, right? We at the University of Minnesota, we swim in the fastest pool, and I would argue in the world. Had some of the fastest yard times ever happen in that pool, and it's deep, kind of from one end to the other, right? And I think there's something to that. And I've had to compete in shallower pools, and it you feel it, right? Especially when you're diving in and at kind of the deepest point of your entry. I think you can feel how close it is. So I definitely think that there's some truth to it. But that said, all of the athletes there have kind of said it in their interviews, right? It's not in your control. Everybody's in the same pool, so you do everything you can to have the best race you can.
David Plummer, 2016 Olympic swimmer. It's so nice to catch up with you. It's been a few years since we've had a chance to chat. I appreciate you coming on and giving us some perspective this morning. Thanks, David.
Yeah, thank you, David. Absolutely. Those kids are lucky at Wayzata and Minnesota to have you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
David Plummer, thank you very much. We will take a quick break, come back, and we'll put a wrap on the show. You're listening to The Huddle on E3O WCCO.